MENA Watch, der Talk.
Dear Rabbi Menachem Margolin, I'm glad to meet you here in Amsterdam today.
Thank you.
You're chairman of the Rabbinical Center of Europe. You're the chairman of the European Jewish Association. You're founder of Europe Israel Press Association and founder of Europe Israel Public Affairs, which is probably not everything that you're doing, but gives an idea. You graduated from yeshiva in New York and then became program director at the Rabbinical Center for Europe in 2004. And 2010, you became general director of the European Jewish Association. Now I explain a little bit what is the European Jewish Association, EJA. It's an umbrella organization representing Jewish communities and organizations across Europe. What is special about EJA when it comes to religion? How is the self-image? Is it more conservative or liberal, or is it inclusive with everything? How would you explain that?
First of all, I think that the right of the Jews is the right for all the Jews. Mm-hmm. So all Jewish people have the right to feel secured, to feel safe, and to be able to have freedom of religion. However, the vast majority of the Jewish communities in Europe are Orthodox communities. Mm-hmm. And therefore, if you go to our website, our affiliated communities, you will see Orthodox communities who represent, I would say, the vast majority of the Jews in Europe. But I think that, again, every Jew deserves to be, that his rights have to be protected.
Do you think that Jewish life everywhere still can be lived as the halakha stipulates? And the halakha is the legal part of the tradition of Judaism. Do you think that in all these countries it's possible, or is there, again, already now, after this anti-Semitism is rising, is there a problem?
Some countries actually banned ritual slaughter. Mm-hmm. Some countries put some limits on circumcision. We are not there in a situation where Jewish people are unable to live Jewish life, but we could be there, because I think that everybody knows that one of the first things that the Nazis did when they took power was to ban the Jewish circumcision and ritual slaughter, and indeed we saw many attempts in different countries in Europe to ban it. It's all about anti-Semitism in most cases. And this is what we're fighting for. We're fighting to ensure the right of the Jewish people and freedom of religion have to be respected. And Jewish people should have the choice if they want to live Jewish life or not. It should be up to the Jews and not up to the governments to put limitations.
How do you do your work? Is it more with meeting people from parliaments, or is it more giving educational sessions? How do you work?
Basically, we do everything, because there's no only one mythology at war. We raise awareness. We invite decision makers to come to concentration camps. We organize two times every year, big delegations. Last one took place just in January, and everybody heard about it because of Elon Musk that joined us. Mm-hmm. But we invite politicians to come to concentration camps, hundreds every year. We organize many conferences and events for politicians. We meet with them personally, we publish things on social media in papers, and we go to schools, and we talk to teachers, we try to do everything we can. So the awareness will be by everyone, at least by every decision maker.
I just read in a press release about the Goebbels Villa. When you do a press release like that, do you speak to any group in Germany? I just saw the press release from EJA, but I didn't see it in the media. Yeah. So how does it work that these things come to the media?
Well, actually, we contacted the ministry, and we offered them that we are ready to take place. When we learned that they're looking for somebody who can take it, and we thought we should This place has turned to be a center of education.
Mm-hmm.
And after we approached the ministry, we shared it with the media. Different newspapers reported. And I think it is important, because it is important that the millions of readers who saw the article will understand that certain values have to be kept. And for me, even the fact that those papers and those readers understood that when something is bad, you should turn it into positive, that's on its own is an important message. So yeah, that's the way we walk, and STLOP is going to walk.
Uh-huh. It's not yet a decision.
No, I believe that the authority is still considering the different options they have. Our proposal is also on the table, and I wish they would take the right decision. We'd be more than happy to look into this subject again.
And where is it located, and what would you do with it if you get the go?
The idea was to turn this place into kind of an education center, mm-hmm. where we can invite children, students, researchers to see the house, but not only to see the house, but basically to learn from this house. Mm. Since Goebbels was responsible for the propaganda, we want to show how education could be used exactly for the other way around. So to spread good and light, so to take the source of the negativity and to turn it into a place of positivity. That was the concept, and I really hope that the authorities will let us do it.
It's in Berlin, the villa?
It's outside Berlin.
Outside Berlin.
Yeah.
And how do you finance projects like that? Do you have a lot of funding, or you do have some government support? How do you work?
We have different foundations, individuals who support mm-hmm. what we do. Mm-hmm. And when we have a project such as this one, we contact different potential sponsors, and we ask them to support. We try to explain them the importance.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we have a group of very strong and important business people who understand that what we do is important, and therefore they support our initiative. So we always have to continue to convince them that we do the right things. So and we have to do the right things. So
you do not get financed by the authorities in any country that you are.
Sadly not.
Okay. Okay. And the European Parliament does not seem to be very pro-Israel or pro-Jewish. Your headquarters is in Brussels, so you're close to the European Parliament. How do you approach the European parliamentarians, and how successful is this?
So there are many members of parliament who support Israel,
mm-hmm.
and many members of parliament who support the Jewish people. However, when it comes to the Jewish people and the situation of the Jewish people in Europe, the vast majority of the power is by the member states. This is not by the European Parliament.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to legislation, when it comes to police, when it comes to prosecutors, when it comes to legal actions, when it comes to legislation, when it comes to support, when it comes to security, when it comes to education, most of the things that are important for the Jewish people are in the hands of the member states. Therefore, of course, we work also with the European parliamentarians, but we work more and more with the governments of the member states, since the power is in their hands.
Mm-hmm. I saw a picture on your website of a delegation going to the APEC conference. So how do you select the people, because there was parliamentarians in there, I saw.
Right.
And
we invite different members of parliament from mm-hmm. Both from the European Parliament and also from different countries in Europe, because we thought it would be important for them to meet also American legislators and be supportive towards each other. I think that at the end of the day, we live in a world where people follow trends. And therefore, if we bring the supporters of Israel at the same place, they support each other. And the moment they support each other, it becomes a trend, and then others shall follow. So this is why we see an importance in this kind of initiative.
Just to explain that APEC is a national organization in USA with more than 3 million grassroots members who want to strengthen and expand the U.S.-Israeli relationship. And there is always all the politicians from all parties, and they give a speech to Israel. I don't know if it really is always helping Israel, but this is what is meant to be. So it's a very important place to go. And I think whoever went there is impressed afterwards.
I agree.
Yes. So let's go back to the European Parliament. It was in the news that Mrs. von der Leyen went to Lebanon with a case of money, €1 billion for the Lebanon government. But we know that the Lebanon government is hijacked by Hezbollah, which is the enemy of Israel. So this was just like 2 months ago. So how do you think this works with the European Parliament and the Jews and Israel?
I'm not aware of this issue, okay. This specific in particular. Okay. So I could tell you though that Mrs. von der Leyen, she cares for the Jewish people. She cares for the state of Israel. And she's actually a very good president of the European Commission. I'm not sure about other policies, but when it comes to combating anti-Semitism, fostering Jewish life, support the state of Israel, this is in her heart, and actually this is, she's a politician that I actually appreciate.
Now, I would like to go back to the Jewish communities. Are there any special differences depending on the country? We were talking about the eastern part of Europe, which is less stressful until now. I don't know if it's changing at the moment. And the western part is pretty challenging for the Jewish community at the moment. So is there any differences that you can?
Well, I think that first of all, the way we judge it now is because of is the demonstration and these big brutal marches. I think we have to be also very clear. All those demonstrations are not spontaneous. It's very well organized and managed. And those who initiated, those who stand behind these demonstrations are quite clever. And they try to influence the most influential countries. So this is why the work to have these demonstrations in France, in Germany, in the UK, in Belgium, in Spain, in Italy, in the Netherlands, they invest much less in Croatia, in Cyprus, in Greece, in Romania. Not because you cannot find them anti-Semites who would be happy to join this march, but because they just do not invest in these countries. So I don't think that the measure for us, which countries are good for the Jews, is have to be by the list of the by the number of demonstrations. We put together in the past a clear criteria. What does it mean for government to be friendly towards the Jewish people? And the criteria could include security of Jewish institutions, strong commitment combating anti-Semitism, the commitment of you, of course, with legislation and anything else, freedom of religion, support for the state of Israel, and financial support towards the Jewish communities. Then you have also the number of incitements that are that was sentenced. So you have different criterias. So of course, seeing legislation is important. Seeing those marches, demonstrations, I understand that right now it's the most vocal and visible, but that's not that only, because as I said, those who are behind it, if they would be interested in having demonstration in Poland, they could organize demonstration in Poland in any other country. So therefore, we wouldn't necessarily judge situation of the Jews by the demonstration, because for long term we have to look at the right picture and look at all the other criteria too.
Mm-hmm. EJA is working in 34 countries, affiliated countries. With which groups do you work at these places? I mean, there is Muslims, Christians, there is other groups, sports groups, whatever. How do you find your cooperation partners?
First of all, we offer our collaboration to anyone, any organization who share our values is more than happy to be our affiliated. We open our arms to any organization who is pro-Jewish, pro-Israel, who wish to work in collaboration with us. This is number one. we approach Jewish communities and pro-Israel groups, and we offer them to work together. And then locally, we work with sports clubs, we work with universities, we work with government agencies, and we try to influence them all to take the right steps in order to ensure Jewish presence. So the work is began.
Did you cooperate also with religious groups, other religions?
We will have tomorrow actually the representative of the Catholics here from Europe.
Catholics,
they will be here for the freedom of religion delegation. Mm-hmm. We did collaborate in the past with Muslims when it comes to ritual slaughter and circumcision. Mm-hmm. So we do happy to collaborate with those that share our values.
That's a good point. Share our values. There is other European Jewish organizations. How is the connection with those? World Jewish Congress has also a European section, and I don't know all of them, but is there?
There are different organizations. Some are more active, some are less active. Some have great history, some have great future. I wish all of them success. I think that the success of Jewish organizations is the success of all of us. And I don't think we have to look at the differences between us all. We should all be united, if not by working together, it's by working for the same cause. We always approach everyone, and we offer everyone to mm-hmm. work together. We never said no to any Jewish or pro-Israel organization who wanted to work with us. We will never boycott any other Jewish organization. And I really wish that all other organizations will share the same values.
What is your concept for the future? For at the moment, I understood during the conference, there is a lot of thinking how to fight back and make people stronger in their communities and have ideas, share ideas, strategy. So what is the concept for the next year, let's say that?
You know, this is very, easy to reduce dramatically the level of anti-Semitism in Europe. It's very easy. Yeah. All what it takes is for the government to decide to do it. I give you certain examples, which are very easy. First of all, Jewish people should be able to report online about anti-Semitism. Because if the government today believes that the level of anti-Semitism is not dangerous enough, because they do not see a lot of complaints, they have to acknowledge that most Jews do not go to the police to complain, because A, it takes a lot of time, 2, it's written over. So first thing, Jewish people should be able to complain online about anti-Semitism, number one. Number two, the police officers have to be trained. They have to be able to identify it. When this is anti-Semitic, they have to be dealt fast. Number three, if you will complain that your partner threatened you for death and you call the police, he will be arrested immediately. If you will complain that your neighbor want to kill you, police will come, they will arrest him, they will investigate him, they will bring him in front of the judge. And then he might say he can go home and be arrested at home for some time until the police will continue the investigation. Anyone who commit anti-Semitic crime should be sentenced, should be arrested until he will be brought in front of the judge. And the prosecutors, every prosecutor should have a prosecutor who understands about anti-Semitism, who is trained how to deal with anti-Semitic crimes. And therefore he should enter those cases. It must be fast, legal process. If somebody committed anti-Semitic crime today, it cannot be sentenced in 5 years from now. It has to be immediately. All those things that I just mentioned will make an impact immediately. And you will see less and less people who are willing to express hatred because they don't want to pay the price. If there is no price, then people could express their hatred. What I just said doesn't take much. It takes the goodwill and real responsibility coming from the government. If every government in Europe will adopt those things that tomorrow we're going to publish as the result of the conference, mm-hmm. if those things will be accepted, I could assure you that anti-Semitism will be dropped by 60, 70 or 80% within very short time.
That's a very good sentence to close this interview. Thank you so much for your time. And I really hope that these governments, whoever you attach,
target,
that they will listen to what you just said.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
God bless you. Thank you very much.
Eine Produktion von MENA Watch, dem unabhängigen Nahost Think Tank. Auf unserer Website finden Sie täglich aktuelle Informationen und Analysen. Besuchen Sie uns. Eine Produktion von MENA Watch, dem unabhängigen Nahost Think Tank. Auf unserer Website finden Sie täglich aktuelle Informationen und Analysen. Besuchen Sie uns.